Hi, and welcome to APES Demystifying Reform series of podcasts, where we invite industry thought leaders and policymakers to help take a deep dive into reforms in BFSI sector. I am Ashwin Parikh, Managing Partner, Ashwin Parikh Advisory Services, APES. APES provides business and transaction advisory services in banking, financial services, and insurance sector. APES continuously works with BFSI industry, regulators, and government to bring valuable insights to its clients for better decision-making and steering growth. The insights are brought to various stakeholders in the BFSI sector by way of monthly newsletters, regular articles on reforms, and blogs for viewers and listeners. In this episode, we have with us Mr. Vijay Chanduk, the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of ICICI Securities Limited, to discuss the proposed new payment mechanism being considered by SEBI. To share with you the background the broking industry has been adopting and a slew of regulatory changes recently, as per media reports, one of the latest one is in the series of potentially a proposal being considered by SEBI for adopting a new payment mechanism, which has the potential to impact the current broking industry. To get more insights and detail on this payment mechanism and its implication on the broking industry, I am happy that Vijay has agreed to join with us to share his views. Hello, Mr. Chanduk. Welcome to the show. For the benefit of our listeners, let me just start with a simple first-level introduction question to Mr. Chanduk. Sir, could you elaborate on what this announcement is? And how does it really impact the larger broking system?
Well, thank you, Mr. Parikh, for having me on your podcast. It's indeed a pleasure to address this esteemed audience. And let me also take this opportunity, sir, to compliment you on the wonderful job you're doing on educating all the listeners, not just on the regulations that have come, but also preparing them for the regulations that may come. Like you rightly pointed out, sir, in the beginning of your speech, you mentioned that this is the regulations that we are talking about has come out in form of a media report. And it's important to reemphasize that because we are relying on this. And apart from the media reports, there's no specific insight that, you know, we really have. SEBI hasn't yet, for instance, come out with any paper, nor has SEBI invited any of us to be part of a discussion. So keeping that backdrop in view, let me try and elaborate what we've picked up from the buzz in the news reports. Well, as per the reports, SEBI is considering the feasibility of ensuring that whenever a client trades, the money that is required for that trade actually gets settled without coming into the broker's account. Now, this is quite a, I would say, departure from the current mechanism. If you look at the current mechanism, whenever an investor needs to buy a stock, he actually has to physically move money from his account to the broker's account. And once the money moves into the broker account, the broker uses this money to buy the stock that a customer wants him to buy and then transfers the shares or the stock into the customer DMAT account. Similarly, when a customer actually wants to sell a stock or a share, the broker sells the share from his DMAT account and the money first on settlement actually hits the broker account. And from the broker account, it is actually transferred to the client savings account. Under the new system that is being discussed which has been reported in the media, money will actually leave investors' bank account and this will only happen once the trade is completed. So, in the intervening period, money simply gets blocked or earmarked in the trade account. And only when the trade settlement is required to be done, will the money actually flow out. And the flow of the money will go directly from client account to client account, the buyer to the seller, so that it doesn't really hit the broker account. This mechanism that I just described is very akin to what was done for the IPO market a few years back. If you recollect, sir, there was this mechanism called the ASBA or the application supported by blocked amount system. Under this arrangement, the money is simply blocked in the customer account and it's taken only when the IPO is successfully allotted to the customer. Now, how does this help? If you look at it, from a customer's point of view, this gives full control of money end-to-end in customer's hand. Now, obviously, the benefits of this from a customer point of it is quite, I would say, self-explanatory, because the risks associated with a money flow through a broker is completely eliminated. I think from our point of view, I would certainly say this is a great move from SEPI's part. It's a welcome move from a customer's part. And we strongly believe that what is good for customer is actually good for industry. And from our point of view at ICICI Securities, I think it would also be relevant to mention that, you know, when we launched our platform, ICICIdirect.com, way back in 2000, the mechanism that we adopted for settlement of buying and selling was very similar to what SEBI is proposing today. We call it the block concept. And as I mentioned, this was way back in 2000, which means that this concept was adopted. We probably were the first people, if not the first broker to have introduced this. So all our three-in-one accounts that we have of our customers with ICICI Bank enjoy this kind of a block facility, where money moves only when the money has to flow for the settlement purpose. Otherwise, it remains blocked in the client account. We have also, in fact, a product called the eATM, which gives instant credit whenever a share is sold by the customer. We call it, as I've just mentioned, the eATM service. And this is virtually done within 5 minutes of the sale. So I believe, you know, this broadly explains, how the whole new mechanism is being proposed by SEBI. And as one could sort of understand just by hearing this, I think it would have a deep impact in the way in which the industry would operate.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, Mr. Chandan. I mean, as you said, it's still in its proposal form, and yet, I mean, even within that as well, only the media has reported this. I mean, the regulator has not yet come out with any draft or any regulation on this. But what could have been the reasons why SEBI would take such a step?
Yeah, I think if you just follow the thinking that has gone behind SEBI's various regulations that have come out in the last couple of years, one of the themes that has, in a way, dominated various guidelines that has come out from SEBI is retail investor protection. I think that's a very clear theme which has been in SEBI's mind. And this particular move clearly is another move in that direction. With every progressive step that SEBI has been taking, I gave the example of the ASPA system for IPOs a few years back. Clearly is a move, which is de-risking the retail investor. In fact, very recently, a similar mechanism like ASBA has been introduced for mutual funds just a few months back. That's de-risking the retail investor from the intermediary or the broker. Even when it comes to pledging of shares, the mechanism has moved from where in the olden system where the shares which required to be pledged actually used to move into a pool account. Now it continues to remain in the customer DMAT account, and it simply gets pledged through a electronic mechanism which has been introduced. So step by step, SEBI is in a way protecting the retail investor and de-risking in a way the system. And towards that, I would compliment the regulator for taking such progressive steps. And I think it would be therefore not amiss to say that the systems that operate in India is perhaps comparable with the best that exist anywhere in the world.
That of course, we keep on getting that sort of through the various surveys that people conduct. There are cases under the existing system, of course, where the customer transfers the money with the broker, but it does not get utilized immediately. The money continues to remain with the broker for days and sometimes even weeks. Is this another revenue source for many brokers? And it is a large source. And therefore, I suppose that part of the business model where the broker could have ended up using the funds of the customers, that of course will get closed, isn't it,
Mr. Parekh? I must compliment you for this specific question, because it's a very insightful and a great question. And you are actually right when you say that there is a fair amount of what one would call lazy money, which is sitting in the system, in broker account, pending utilization by the client for whatever activities he wants to do, buying or, you know, using it for his further investments. And one, obviously, when it's sitting idle in broker account, a broker is actually able to have accumulation of such money, which is liquidity in his on his table. And this liquidity, therefore, can earn some kind of a return to the broker and enhance his yield. And in fact, many of the discount brokers have predicated their business model to some extent, at least on the revenue that one earns out of this lazy money or float. This is very different from the way in which you know, equity player like ICICI Securities has predicated their business model, because we do not actually take money in our 3-in-1 accounts. It's only blocked in customer account. Therefore, if you ask me, this can have a far-reaching implication, at least to some extent, on the business models of the discount brokers. You also sort of mentioned, you know, can this amount be huge? Honestly, you know, there is no industry data which is there to talk about the kind of numbers that cumulatively this can translate into in terms of pool balances with the brokers. But if I were to, you know, hazard a kind of informed or a, I would say, considered guesstimation, you know, I would believe that this number could be in several tens of thousands of crores, therefore it is certainly not a small number. And if this is earning even, you know, 5% for the broker, I think the pool that is available could be again close to several hundred crores of revenue at an industry level. All of this could come under a big, I would say, question mark once the new model comes. Therefore, you know, it clearly should be seen as something that is used today by the broking industry at large by as a kind of a some kind of a revenue for them.
Sure, sure. And this brings me to an interesting question. You know, we know that the industry has two sets of brokers. There are discount brokers and there are full service brokers. Now, this proposal can have an impact on the revenue stream of the brokers. What could be the impact to each one of these, according to you, Mr. Chandok?
Yeah. So, like I was just describing, I think fair to say that when you look at the business model of a discount broker, broadly you have three sources of revenue. One is the fees that you earn through broking, and the way most of the discount brokers have structured their fee model, it is on the back of trading business only and not really investment business. So investment business generally is free, that cash delivery, as they call it for in the industry, that is free. But if you're a trader, either for F&O or for intraday trades, you pay 20 rupees. That's typically the charge. They have also introduced various charges for the services that they offer to customers, which can on its own stack up as a reasonable size revenue. So there is that broking revenue, and then there is that allied fee revenue that comes with broking, but it's not broking in that sense. Different types of fees for different services that are rendered, like fund transfer charges, shares as margin. There is charges related to that. Some of them offer MTF. So there is interest charge on MTF and so on and so forth. In it, then you have the float revenue. That is the pool float that we just spoke about. Together, A plus B plus C constitutes the business model. Now, clearly, the pool revenue, the B part of it, comes, or rather the C part of it rather, comes under a question mark with this new model. On the other hand, a full service broker like ours has very little dependence really on float because of the way in which our business is structured. I think fair to say that this could impact to some extent business models of the discount brokers in case it is indeed implemented.
Oh, that really brings us to an interesting last question. Does it really mean then in that case that there is a case to increase or at least introduce brokerage for some of the discount brokers?
Well, Mr. Parekh, that's a really tough question for me to answer, and I would believe that, you know, once a specific charge is taken away, reintroducing a charge is not easy at all, because, you know, it goes down so deeply in the minds and the psyche of customers that there could be a very strong, sharp reaction in case discount brokers actually reintroduce a fee. But that said, and therefore, you know, I would be a little sort of wary in expecting something like this to happen. But that said, I must say that in the recent few quarters, we have indeed seen a kind of an increase in fees that some of the discount brokers have offered, not all. This is something which I honestly did not expect, but the fact that they have been able to, they have actually been able to slip this through in, seems to indicate that indeed there is some kind of a pressure on discount broking models for revenue. Therefore, I would say that players which are marginal could, you know, introduce some kind of a fees, but I would be very skeptical if large players, you know, are going to do something so dramatic.
No, that's very true. But I mean, going back to the proposal itself, therefore, just to conclude our discussion, will you not agree, you know, sir, that this proposal, therefore, certainly does give customer, you know, a clear understanding of, I mean, you know, I mean, he's making the payment now directly. So therefore, I mean, he's utilizing his funds and he knows where he's utilizing them directly. And the float money part, let's say, is taken care of. All in all, it says to be really a good proposal, all said and done.
Oh, absolutely.
A very good proposal.
Absolutely, Mr. Parekh. I would completely agree with you that this is a very sound proposal from the point of view of the retail customer, and it is also a very sound proposal from the point of systemic risk elimination point of view in the industry. So I would say great thinking on part of the regulator, and this is a move which we would wholeheartedly support in case it plays out.
Thank you Mr. Chaddu, for sharing your thoughts on this subject, and looking forward to, of course, making much more sessions and podcasts with you. Thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. We welcome your feedback on our show, and we will be glad to receive subjects of your interest on which you'd like to hear our views. Do write to us at info@ap-as.com. Also, please check out our BFI Insight series of podcasts, where we take you through the market updates in the BFSI sector. We provide platforms like newsletters, podcasts, video clips to industry thought leaders and policymakers to share their views and experience on the trends and reforms in banking, financial services, and insurance. Goodbye until next time.